Senate will come back to order. Senators, before we start this afternoon, I just bring to your attention the door over here on my left is closed. There's some maintenance issues going on out there in the hall and whatnot. If you need to go that way, just go out the back, go back around. There's no problem going to the break room or to the restrooms or anything, but you just need to go around the back. In the event of some sort of an emergency, just use the back exit and go to the appropriate fire escape or whatever the emergency is. So with that, we're going to go ahead and do our reports from standing committees.
February the 16th, 2012, Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporation Elections and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred Senate File 67, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Case, Hines, Johnson, Martin, and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman. February the 16th, 2012, Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporation Elections and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred Senate File 62, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Case, Hines, Johnson, Martin, and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman. February the 16th, 2012, Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporation Elections and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred Senate File 6, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Hines, Johnson, Martin, and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman. February the 16th, 2012, Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporation Election Political Subdivision, to whom was referred Senate File 7, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Hines, Johnson, Martin, and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman. February the 16th, 2012, Mr. President, your committee number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred Senate File 74, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Barnard, Emmerich, Hines, and Perkins. No, Senator Case, Senator Hines, Chairman.
Bill's on second reading. Senate File 5, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 5, County Commissioners, removal of appointed board members.
There are several amendments. The first is the Nicholas Amendment. I'd ask that be read in at this time.
Senate File 5, second reading amendment number 1, page 2, line 7.
Senator Nicholas, you'd like to move the amendment?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. President. I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 5. Folks, what this amendment does is go out through each one of these sections and takes the word out of just so that it talks about remove the director for cause. And it really seems to me that with respect to most of these positions, they're more of at-will positions. They're political positions. And the idea that there has to be a just cause is sort of foreign to these things. If you have any kind of cause, maybe it's not just or not, that may be appropriate for removal. So it does lower the bar and provides more discretion to the county commissioners for removal.
Senator Johnson.
Mr. President, we have no problem with this amendment. Please vote aye.
Any other further discussion? Question being called in regard to second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 5, the Nicholas Amendment. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That amendment has passed. We're now back on the bill, and there is a second amendment to Senate File 5, and I'd ask the reading clerk read that in at this time.
Senate File 5, second reading amendment number 2, page 2, line 8.
Senator Nicholas, would you like to move the amendment?
Mr. President, thank you, Mr. President. I move second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 5. Ladies and gentlemen, what this does is clarify that the hearing that's being offered is not an evidentiary hearing. Rather, the requirement is that should the person who is being removed choose to insist on it, that the decision be made, that the action be taken during a public hearing, as opposed to you're entitled to a public hearing, which suggests an evidentiary hearing. So in most instances, all that's being required under this is that the action be, upon request, that the action be taken during a public hearing in the open.
Question? Discussion? Senator Johnson?
Thank you again, Mr. President. Once again, we have no problem with this amendment and would ask you to vote aye.
Thank you, Senator Johnson. Question being called. The issue before us is second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 5, the Nicholas Amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. That amendment has passed. We are now back on the bill. Senate File 5 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 8, second reading.
Senate File 8, ethanol tax credit.
There are no amendments. Questions? Seeing none. Senate File 8, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 10, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 10, Youth Challenge Program Sunset Date.
Are there any questions in regarding this bill, seeing Senator Perkins?
Thank you, Mr. President. I did have a couple questions as I was in the chair yesterday, and I remember getting a report earlier this year that I thumbed through with regard to the Youth Challenge Sunset Date Program. And let me say at the outset that for those kids that are in the Youth Challenge Program, it's an excellent program. And you've got kids that come from pretty tough circumstances. In some cases, this is an alternative to if they weren't here, you know, they might very well be at the boys' home in Worland. So it's, you know, there's pretty tough circumstances, sometimes coming from, you know, pretty difficult homes or other circumstances. And so the folks that do there, they do a great job over there. And so my questions, they don't have anything aren't intended to cast any aspersions there. But as I look at the program, and what I remember is essentially that this has a graduation rate of about 75%, which isn't bad considering the number of the kind of case file kid that goes in there. And so that's good. But what you've got is you've got a program that right now is running at about half the capacity for which it was intended. So we've got an appropriation of, I think it's somewhere between $2.5 million, $3.5 million, something like that a year that we do that funds this. And we've only got half those kids in there. We've got 25% of them that are out. Generally, either it's too hard or you have a parent who comes and gets them because it's a voluntary program, and apparently it has to be voluntary. But when you look at that, we have a program that's only half full with a 75% graduation rate. That really tells you that the throughput's really closer to 45%. So it becomes, I've got some questions for some of those individuals. I know there's some folks that feel very strongly about this program, but I'm just wondering, what are we doing to help this program along? Can we expect it to improve better? Are things happening to try and get the number of kids in there that were supposed to be in there? Because ultimately what we've got right now is what we're getting is costing twice the amount that it should per kid because we have this capacity issue. And so I like the program. It does lots of good things. It's making a difference in a lot of kids' lives. But, you know, we've got to always look at these things cost-effectively, Mr. President. And with that, I'd appreciate those who feel strongly about this program and would like to see this bill go through and the sunset extended to help us understand what's going there to make it better. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other questions regarding this bill before the sponsor stands for his first time? Seeing none, I guess if the sponsor would like to raise and answer the... Oh, I see another question. Go ahead, Senator Nutting.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just wanted to respond to his question.
You may.
You're exactly right, Senator, that it is not a program at capacity, and that has been a concern for the sponsors and teachers of the program. They have taken many steps to reach more students. The Department of Family Services has recently become much more involved and are referring more students. They also have made efforts to go to every school district within the state to encourage school referrals, so that the referral sources have been increasing, and they anticipate that the number of students will increase. But that is definitely one of their goals, to reach that 100% capacity.
Thank you, Senator Nutting. Go ahead, Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, and the program is also taking some really proactive measures. And one of those, and I think it is critical, up until this point, there have been two starts to the program. In other words, you get a new class in twice a year. And what actually happens when you do it that way, say a young man or a young lady starts getting in trouble, kind of the wrong direction. Unless you've got happen to have a program starting right away, they got to kind of tread water for a while. Whereas they're going to go to four starts, which means you can really lessen the time before you can, one, and I'm going to go through some kind of critical elements to this program. You get them out of the neighborhood they're in. You get them out of their the group they've been running with, so to speak, that's probably running the wrong way. You get them out of there. You get them down to Camp Guernsey. You start providing some real discipline and structure to their life. And you know exactly what I'm saying. When some ex-top sergeant says, get structure to your life, you get structure to your life. There's a time to get up and go down and everything in between. But you also, by doing that, you start building up their sense of discipline and a sense of self-worth. I can get through, and I'm just making up, I'm just giving you an example. I can get through this set of calisthenics. I can get through this challenging coursework. And that's what they start doing. They start building these kids up in a whole new environment, granted, a very structured environment, very structured, very structured. They have them going at daylight, and they put them to bed when it's dark, and they get them back up at daylight the next day. The third element that I think is also critical is the mentoring element after they get out of Camp Guernsey. And that mentoring is, in fact, true mentoring. It's, one, making sure they stay on the right course, so to speak. Two, that they start fulfilling the goals that they establish, whether it's a GED, whether it's get back in public school and start doing things right, those kind of things. That's what the mentoring is about. It's building on the mental and physical structure that they had at Guernsey and carrying it into real life. That's as good as we can probably provide those folks. One other thing, and I'm going to try and put this as correctly as I can. These are tough kids. Some of those young men and women, they've already cycled through the boys' school and the girls' school. They've cycled through a number of youth assistance programs. They've been that route. If you start visiting with them, they're a fairly hardcore group. They've been around the block. They played the system. Many, many of them come from homes that do not encourage success in life. I mean, That's the way they are. And if this program can turn them around, we're doing our best to do that. So in answer to the questions, I think we can. Our goal is to fill the program up, get more participants. And I think we can do that, particularly with the two starts, and particularly as the word gets out, whether it's word to, as my colleague said, to school districts or to DFS or to local police forces, social services people saying, if you got somebody that's pretty hardcore.
30 seconds on a 5-minute schedule.
This is a good place to send them. The alternative is let's start building, more beds at Rollins and those things. We can turn these kids around. But by the time they get to this place, they're headed the wrong direction. They absolutely are. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Bebout, go ahead.
May I have a latitude to ask one more question?
Okay. Well, sponsor has another turn, so if we have another round of questions, let's go with that before he does his final shot. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a question, and I understand that it's a voluntary program, and it has to be voluntary. And one of the things that I heard, and I can also really relate to, is when you get into a very structured environment, that first week is the one that kind of makes a difference. And I understand that that's where we have a lot of these young kids that leave because it's voluntary. And I'm sure you've thought about this, but is there any way we can, to that first week period, because once they get in the system and start building relationships, tough kids really react to that kind of a tough atmosphere, and I think they're more likely to stay if they get past that first week. Is that something that's been talked about? Is there anything that could be done there? Is it just because of the nature of the program, the fact that it has to be voluntarily, we really can't do anything?
Are there any other questions? Senator Perkins, go ahead.
Just one other thought. I mean, and I appreciate what the good senator from KC said, and I don't think anybody's disputing that. But what strikes me as you look at this program in particular is that it's, kids get in trouble when they get in trouble. And if you, whether you have two entry dates a year, whether you have four entry dates a year, it's just, kids have a tendency to get, in trouble at the most inconvenient times. Anybody who's been a parent knows that. And so I wonder if that's not one of the problems that this problem will never fill up. Because when you look at the other types of placements with tough kids. If you go to Sheridan, if you're a female, if you go to Worland, if you're a guy, if you go to the boot camp, or even if you go to the juvenile detention center, when you get in there, you're accepted. When you get there, you're there. And you've got an education plan that starts immediately. And so, the problem with kids is you've got, the consequences and the issues have to be immediate. They've got to be available. And I just don't know if this program's ever going to be able to fill up when we're saying, this is a great program and you should come, but you can't come until 3 months from now. And ultimately, I think if this program's going to fill up, they're going to have to find a way to adapt and allow entrance at I don't even know, 4 is certainly a start instead of 2 times a year, 4 times a year. But until it probably happens once a month or every other month, I just don't know how this is going to fill up because, kids need help when they need help, and waiting 3 months or 6 months for a double entry, we've got to find a way to get these kids the help faster or this program isn't going to make it.
Other questions? Go ahead, Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to start out talking with a story when I was in high school. And there was a group in my class of males that called themselves the Elegants. Does that sound familiar to some of you? Wore the jackets, everything like that. Between junior and senior year of high school, they got in a whole lot of trouble. And they all went before the judge with their parents, and the judge said, give you two choices. I'm going to send you to the pen. Back in that corner is the Marine Corps recruiter. And a lot of that happened when I was growing up. A lot of guys were given the choice between a recruiter or incarceration. Of course, that doesn't happen now. The military is essentially not allowed to do that. I managed to last without getting in that kind of trouble till I graduated, but boy, it was nip and tuck. I was not a fair-haired boy. I was pretty wild, and I saw that I had no business going to college. It was a joke. So what did I do the day after I got out of high school? I trotted down to the recruiter because I knew I needed to grow up. My drill instructor, Bosun's mate, First Class Schneier, taught all 60 of us fear in less than 30 seconds. And that grew us up a whole lot. And then he had 12 weeks to improve on that. Another story is here in town, the youth agencies have told me many times, if they can keep a boy or girl from committing a felony before they turn 18, if they can keep it to misdemeanors, something happens after they're 18 and most of them straighten out. It's just, we don't know if it's in the water or what it is, but that's their emphasis, is keeping them out of felonies till 18, because if they commit a felony before 18, they're lifetime criminals. These are hardcore kids. And these are kids that 40 years ago would have been offered to go in the Marines, the boys to go in the Marines. They make phenomenal Marines. They do. You take a tough street fighter, go in there, and a drill sergeant gets a hold of him, and he comes out a real Marine. They're 16 and 17 now, and they can't do that. This gives them the discipline they need and they want, and they're not committed to it like they're committed to the boys' school, the girls' school, the juvenile hall, or anywhere else. These kids say, I want a life. I really want a life. It's time to get out of Dodge. It's time to volunteer. And I'm going to go to Guernsey and get straightened out. And I'm going to have pride. I'm going to have self-respect, and I'm going to become a producing member of our society. So the program is working. It'll be working more. They're always improving it. They're always talking to the other 49 states and their programs. So please continue it, because the only future we have is our kids. Thank you.
Are there any other questions? Yes, we'll deal with those before the sponsor rises his last time. I believe, Senator Cooper, you were up first, and I'll call on you, and then we'll go to Senator Landon. Go ahead, Senator Cooper.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President. Just to add a little bit to discussion, to get into this program a lot, because I serve on the committee that worked with this. One thing is we have to keep in mind is that this is a referral program or request program. These are kids that are actually in the system someplace already. It's either they're in a school program, they're working with DFS, they could be working with the juvenile people, a lot of other things like that, even with the judges and so forth. So these are you know, not kids that are just picked off the street and maybe because of a crime or something and said, oh, by the way, you need to go up to the challenge program if you expect not to go to jail or something like that. These are people, kids that have already been worked with on several occasions, like the good senator from KC said, who have had issues over and over again, who've been in the system, and they can request for them to be able to go into this challenge program, which means they can, in fact, have a sequential system of starting the program at different times, because that's the part of the way this program works. It's a request program. It isn't a matter of a judge just going down and say, bang, you know, you're going to the challenge program. So you keep that in mind with this. It's a little bit different scenario than saying a judge saying, hey, you're going to go to juvenile detention tomorrow or the next day. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Cooper. Senator Landon, did you like to go?
Thank you, Mr. President. I just wanted to thank my good friend from Casper for bringing up a very good point. And any time we're spending this kind of money, I think it's absolutely necessary that we have these kind of discussions. Specific to my friend's query, though, is what does this program cost and what are we looking at? And we've talked about a lot of very good reasons, a lot of good things about this program over at Camp Guernsey. I wanted to get back specifically to a couple of cost figures that I think might help us to get our arms around this. We do spend money on this program, but we spend money on students and young people like this no matter where they go. Let me give you an idea of the proposed cost on this program with 120 graduates for this coming biennium is going to amount to $18,000 per year per graduate. If that same student was in a small high school in Wyoming, we would reimburse that school district $32,999. If we sent that very same student to the Boys Ranch at the state east of us, that cost would be $36,000. If that student had to spend a year in the Fremont County Detention Center, we're talking $45,625. I think you get the idea. You know, the fact of the matter is this is a pretty cost-effective program, and the testimony that we had during the interim was that we are going to work with the Department of Family Services. They're going to work very diligently with our school districts out there, and I think this is a program worth giving a chance. I think removing the sunset and allowing this thing to move forward, I'd like to see what happens over the next couple of years. I think there's some initiatives in place, Mr. President, that I think have a chance to make this program even better.
Thank you, Senator. Are there any other questions? I'll not entertain any after the sponsor makes his final comment. Go ahead, Senator Schiffer.
Let me try and answer the questions that I heard from my colleague from Fremont County, and it's a very good point. It is that first week or 10 days because, it's voluntary. They can call home. But what they've done is they've adjusted the ambiance for being able to call home. It means it's not impossible. It happens, but it's rigorously counseled and supervised to try and encourage kids, get through this 10 days, and, start building on that. That's been a different, that's changed since the program was started. They're working on that. Because I agree with you, the attrition rate happens in the first 10 days. Once they get through that, they start taking pride in themselves and what they're doing. But they are trying to address that on an individual basis. Increased counseling, increased supervision of the ability to call home. And oftentimes, if you can get them to last one more day, pretty quick that kid's turning around. So they are trying to address that issue. In terms of the starts, that's why we're going to four starts. I don't know if that's the magic number. I'm certainly no child counselor or nanny. I don't look like it, and as you can probably tell, I don't act like it most of the time. But they are trying to address that issue. It is important. I agree with you. What we're asking for, we're not asking for this program to go on forever. It's sunsetted another 5 years. I think it's fair to say it should be scrutinized at the end of that 5 years and see how have you done, folks. Have you really responded? One other thing, and there seems to be some misunderstanding on the quality of the children that get in this program. I guess it's been about a year and a half ago, some young people broke into a home in Sheridan. And a young man, and he's since been convicted, shot the homeowner in a robbery. He's now, I think he's life without parole. That young man was one of the washouts from this program. These are tough kids. Understand what you're trying to make. It's not really the best clay in the world if you were thinking of forming a Michelangelo statue or whatever it's made out of. But these are tough kids. But like I say, they're doing their best. My colleague has pointed out, in terms of dollars and cents, it is, you know, and they got to feed those kids. It's not feed and house them for that. And it appears to be working. Will it ever work 100%? If it's voluntary, no. The kids can quit. But that's part of the building process also. So I suggest to you that, I welcome, let's look at it again in a year, or let's look at it at the end of 5 years or whatever. Let's keep an eye on it. But they're doing a pretty good job considering the young people that walk through their door to participate in the program.
Thank you, Senator. Senate File 10, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 22, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 22, Candlestein Laboratory Operation Appeal.
There are no amendments. Any questions, comments in regard to Senate File 22? Seeing none, Senate File 22 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 23, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 23, death penalty method of lethal injection.
There are no amendments, but however, we will call on Senator Escobel to talk about, I think, some issues that were raised yesterday. Go ahead, Senator.
Yeah, the question was asked as to what happens if this bill were not to pass. Well, what would happen is that if someone has been scheduled for execution, the process would continue. What this bill is designed to do is to give the Department of Corrections an option to use other chemicals that might be a little bit more, so to speak, humane. And I did pass a little memorandum might explain that a little bit more thoroughly, but basically the process would continue. A person scheduled for execution would be executed. Hope that explains it.
Thank you, Senator. Are there any other questions of the sponsor? No amendments, and seeing no questions, Senate File 23, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, go ahead with your motion.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the Senate resolve itself into Committee of the Whole.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed, no. That motion has carried. Senator Rothfuss, would you like to take the chair?
Yes, Mr. President.
Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 19. The clerk will please read in the bill.
Hand me the bill.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Senate File 19, sponsored by the Agriculture Committee. Predator Management District Management, an act relating to predator control. It was referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture, State, and Public Lands and Water Resources, which refers back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Bebout, Driscoll, Emmerich, Geis, and Hicks, Senator Geis, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Senator Geis.
Mr. Chairman,
When the Committee of the Whole rides and report, I move that Senate File 19 do pass. We have a standing committee amendment. Would you read that in?
Senate File 19, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 1, line 2.
Mr. Chairman, I would move the passage of the Committee of the Whole report, and I'll yield the floor to Senator Driscoll to explain the bill.
Thank you, Senators. Senator Driscoll.
This bill deals with creditor districts and their meetings and the date of the meeting. Clears up some clarifications on it. I will start with the amendment on it. The First Amendment is removing a semicolon on page 1, line 2, after reports, basically just a cleanup. The Second Amendment is on page 1, line 3. It is a semicolon, I'm sorry. Line 2 is deleting amending. Just cleans up. Second Amendment is line 3, removing the semicolon. Line 12, delete 1116208, which is not applicable as amended. The last amendment is deleting lines 9 through 21 on page 4. This deals with the section 11-6-208, district board's annual reports, and they've just eliminated the annual reporting requirement as of this amendment. Mr. Chair, am I incorrect, Senator Bebeck? On that.
One moment. Thank you, Senator Driscoll. Senator Bebout.
Mr. Chairman, on the proposed amendment, what the amendment does is it goes back to the original language in the law on page 4, lines 9 through 22, which does not eliminate the annual report. It just changed the effective date that it has to be turned in by October, which is the date that we want, not March. So we still have that annual report requirement is still in there. We don't eliminate it. We just change the effective date.
Senator Bebout, thank you for that clarification. Senator Driscoll, anything else?
Chairman, thank you very much. That's the way it was done. I would move the amendment.
Thank you, Senator. Any discussion on the amendment? Discussion on the amendment? You have heard the question. Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Geis's motion to adopt Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 19, please do so by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. All right. That amendment has been adopted. All right. I believe there are no more amendments, and we are back on the bill. Senator Driscoll.
Mr. Chairman, back to the bill. The rest of the bill on page 2, line 19 and 20, subject provisions of WS 11-6-203, this refers to the annual meeting date. This is just the reference to the change of the annual meeting date. It is also referred to the same statute, subject to the provisions on page 3, lines 5 and 6. And moving on to the real guts of what the bill is, deals with the annual meeting. And there's been some discrepancy in the past annual meetings who is entitled to vote at creditor meetings. Creditor boards are producers that actually vote on funding and how the creditor districts are run within the counties. I believe every county in Wyoming has one except for Teton. In the past, there's been some discussion as to who is entitled to vote, and what this actually does is makes it where the people that are allowed to vote have to come with a brand inspection to prove that they own livestock or an entity that owns livestock, and clarifies that each entity only is entitled to one vote.
That is regardless how much livestock you have. If you have one 4-H steer and you have an A-form inspection, you are entitled to one vote at the predator meeting. If you're a corporation, you're entitled to one vote and only one vote for that corporation. This has been somewhat of an issue in the past, and that is what this part of the bill does, is cleans that up, makes it clear as who is entitled to vote and that they can only vote one time. Also does not allow for proxies, so you can't bring a stack of proxies in and vote them. The next change is on page 5, lines 10 and 11, and it changes the amount of time that you have to apply for a refund from 180 to 120 days to tighten this up so that they can fall within reporting to the state. The last change is on line 16, and they have added owned by Wyoming residents, and this is on collecting fees. And what it says is that Wyoming residents that are transporting animals within the state are not going to be charged this fee. If I'm moving animals from my ranch to the good senator in Campbell County's ranch, I'm not going to be charged a fee within it, as long as ownership does not change. I have to own the animals as long as it hasn't changed. With that, I will stand for any questions.
Thank you, Senator Driscoll. Discussion on the bill. Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, got some questions on the provision on page 5, lines 14 through 18 that were just discussed. And let me see if I can explain the nature of my concern. You're talking about Wyoming residents, which implies to me you're talking about individuals. In my area, most of the agricultural operations, the ownership of the livestock is not by individuals, it's by corporations, of one form, LLC or standard business corporation. And the reason for that is it's the easiest way to share ownership amongst the family and the members of that family. Now, may or may not be a Wyoming corporation. Usually is, but some of the older ones that were done before we reformed our corporation laws were done in other states for good reason. One of the owners may be all Wyoming residents, or you may have a situation where some of the family has moved out of state, but still retain some ownership in the family ranch. How does this apply to them? It would seem that you're excluding corporations, that they can no longer get this rebate. So that's one set of questions. How do you deal with the situation where you've got corporate ownership? Because that's going to be probably your most common form, or at least the form of ownership that applies to the majority of your livestock. The second question I have is a little more fundamental, and I ask some of the real attorneys in the body to pay a little attention here. It would seem with a fee that was paid by out-of-state residents, but not Wyoming residents, that we're discriminating against interstate commerce. And I think there may be some federal constitutional problems with doing that. So that's my next question. And then my third question is, why do we really need this section? If you just leave the existing law, as I read it, it says, no predatory animal fee shall be collected on livestock shipped or trailed within the state if change of ownership does not occur. What's wrong with just leaving that existing law the way it is? It seems to me that that's a reasonable standard that works.
Thank you, Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Geis.
The first question is, you have to treat out-of-state the same as in-state. That's interstate commerce, and we do that in this bill. I didn't write down all your questions. But corporations, if you own a brand and within that corporation and you have a list of different owners on that corporation or that bill of sale, why, then any one of those people can vote in this. Don't shake your head no, that's the way it is in this. And let's see, what was your other questions you had?
Senator Scott, a clarification on the question.
Mr. Chairman.
Your first one.
Mr. Chairman, I wasn't speaking of the voting. That's clear. I don't have any problems with that part. It's the being excused from paying the fee. You're shifting it from where anybody who trails within the state with no ships or trails within the state with no change in ownership doesn't get socked the fee to where only Wyoming residents do, and I think you're excluding corporations. I don't think you intend to, but I think that's what you're doing. And then I think there are constitutional problems with this part.
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Scott. Back to you, Senator Geis.
The only time you're charged a fee is when you sell your livestock. It's when you trail them back and forth and do all those things, there's no predator fee charged. Now, if the bill says that different, then you bring an amendment to straighten it out, but I don't think it says that.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, notwithstanding subsection A of this section, no predatory animal control board fee shall be collected on livestock, and in the addition, owned by Wyoming residents that are shipped or trailed within the state. So with this bill, we're imposing the fee on the livestock that are not owned by Wyoming residents. And I'm confused as to the status of corporate ownership, and I think we're discriminating, and I think maybe we're also raising revenue in a Senate file. So I have some problems with this particular section.
Senator Geis.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Scott, you're right. We do charge everybody, but within 120 days, you can ask for a refund on your predator fees, and they have to pay it back to you. If you, whether you're in the state or whether you're not a state cattle owner or livestock owner, you're entitled to a refund if you do not want to pay the predator fee.
Thank you, Senator Geis. Any further discussion? Senator Nicholas.
The way I read this language on page 3, the voting goes to anybody that elects to pay a fee, so it's not a question of who got charged the fee. So I assume that if I pay a landowner's fee and contributor, or if I just walk in and say I'd like to pay some fees today and I get a receipt, I can go to the party and vote. What do I get to vote on? Because it sounds pretty cool.
Thank you, Senator Nicholas. Any further discussion? One moment, Senator Driscoll. Senator Driscoll.
Mr. Chairman, I don't read it that way. It's a brand form is in the name of an individual corporation or ranch, and that form is what has to be there. And it says proof of payment of predator fees, verified copy of brand inspection's certificate, which clearly shows fees been paid, date of which one they're paid. To me, that states fairly clearly that it goes with the name that's on the inspection. The general person that pays the fee, I guess there's probably some instances, is the person that's shipping the livestock. It's nearly always. I write the fees for mine, and everyone else I've ever seen is the same.
Thank you, Senator Driscoll. No further discussion. Hearing the question called, are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Geis's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation on Senate File 19, signify so by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. All right. Senate File 19 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 15. Will the reading clerk please read in the bill?
Senate File Number 15, sponsored by the Minerals Committee, Advanced Conversion Technologies Task Force Amendment. an act relating to the University of Wyoming. It was referred to Committee Number 9, Mineral Business Economic Development, which reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Bebout, Cole, Cooper, Jennings, and Rothfuss. Senator Bebout, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move that the Committee of the Whole Ryan report do so with a favorable recommendation that Senate File 15 do pass. There is a standing committee amendment, and I ask that it be read in.
Senate File 15, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 2, line 5.
Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I would yield to explain the bill to Senator Jennings, and he will also explain the amendment.
Thank you, Senator Bebout. Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill has to do with the Clean Coal Task Force that's been operated via the Energy Council at the Energy School. And what we've done in this bill is three major things, is that we've added advanced conversion technologies. And the reason that we did that is because we've really been doing a lot of the Clean Coal Task Force work on coal combustion. And it had to do something with cleaning up the stack and the combustion of coal. But as we go forward with the resources that we have in Wyoming, we realize that there are conversion technologies out there too. And not mainly just from coal, but we can also get it from natural gas. And there might be a conversion technology out there that we're not aware of. So we went through the bill and we replaced Clean Coal Research with Advanced Conversion Technology Task Force. We also extended the sunset date to 2015. And we redid the description of what the Conversion Technology Task Force was supposed to do. And that description was on page 2, line 20. We struck clean coal technologies with an emphasis on methods of combusting sub-bituminous coal at high altitudes, and then we replaced that with advanced conversion technologies. And that was what we did in the original bill. But as we met, and since the bill was developed, we realized that we have some more clean coal task force work to do, and that appropriations has put some money out there to do it, to aid that doing. So we did as we went back, and Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move the amendment.
Thank you.
And in the amendment, we went back and we reinserted the clean coal. So we left the name of the task force, Advanced Conversion Technologies Task Force. But as you go through the bill on page 2, line 11, 13, 22, and then over on page 3, line 6, 12, I think that's that we added the word, we put clean coal back in, added the word and, so it would read clean coal and advanced conversion technologies. And that would cover us on both ends. And then we also put a couple more years on the sunset, and we moved it to 2017. So at this point, I would take questions or ask you to vote aye on the amendment.
Thank you, Senator Jennings. We are on the amendment. Discussion on the amendment. Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a question as to why you moved it from 2015 to 2017.
Thank you, Senator Ross. Senator Bebout with an explanation, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The reason the date was moved forward, there's a sister bill that's moving for the Joint Appropriations Committee on appropriating money, and there's a timing issue on how the funds would be spent. And rather than come back and request it later, we wanted to move the date up to be consistent.
Thank you, Senator Bebout. Senator Emmerich.
Mr. Chairman, just a point of perhaps my stupidity, and if this is consistent, there should be a page 2, line 2 in the amendment. It says advanced conversion technology. and it's not listed in the amendment.
Thank you, Senator Emmerich. Senator Jennings.
We wanted to leave the name of the task force, the Advanced Conversion Technologies Task Force. The acronym for Clean Coal Research Advanced Conversion Technology was too long. So it still covers everything. We didn't miss it. We did that on purpose. So we want the name of the task force to be the Advanced Conversion Technologies. And we just dropped it. It's all basically doing the same thing.
Thank you, Senator Jennings. Any further discussion on the amendment? Question having been called for, all those in favor of Senator Jennings' motion to adopt the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File Number 15, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That amendment has passed. We are back on the bill. Discussion on the bill. Question having been called, all those in favor of Senator Bebout's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 15, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. All right, that bill passes the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 17. Would the reading clerk please read in the bill?
Senate File Number 17, sponsored by the Travel Committee. Game and Fish Authority Revisions, an act relating to game and fish. It was referred to Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, which reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senator Burns, Christensen, Dockstader, Driscoll, and Escobel. Senator Burns, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a favorable recommendation on Senate File Number 17, Game and Fish Authority Revisions. There are no standing committee amendments on the bill, and for further explanation, I ask that you call on Senator Escobel.
Thank you, Senator Burns. Senator Escobel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill was brought to us by the Game and Fish Department. It was a committee bill, and the main concern that the Game and Fish Department was the specificity that is presently in the statutes. If you look at page 2, from line 1 down to line 18, part of line 18, a lot of that is deleted because it's pretty specific in terms of what the department was supposed to look at. So what the department felt was appropriate was to delete the specificity of the statutes and give the commission more general authority to be able to adjust their rules and regulations in keeping with modern technology in terms of archery and ammunition, things of that nature. The additional thing that they were concerned about was that and this is on page 5. There is a provision that baiting for big game animals is prohibited. But the Game and Fish Department would like to have this one provision on page 5 included, which allows the department to be involved in baiting for those situations where they want to look at some management techniques, management goals. So basically what this bill seeks to do is to give the Game and Fish Commission general authority over the use of ammunition and archery and be able to adjust to technology requirements and to give them authority to use baiting techniques for management purposes. If there are any questions, I'll try to answer them.
Thank you, Senator Escobel. Any discussion on the bill? No discussion on the bill, and hearing the question. All those in favor of Senator Burns' motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 17, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. All right, that bill has passed. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the committee of the whole arise and report.
You have heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carried. Mr. President.
Yeah.
That's yours.
The reading clerk will please read the committee of the whole report.
Mr. President, your committee of the whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, begs leave to report as follows. Senate File 19, do pass amended. Senate File 15, do pass amended. And Senate File 17, do pass. Senator Rothfuss, Chairman.
Senator Rothfuss.
Mr. President, I move for the adoption of the committee of the whole report.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. We have adopted the committee of the whole report. Mr. Majority Leader, that clears the desk.
Mr. President, may I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
Mr. President, I would just like to thank you and your wife, Senator Nicholas, and all of you for your expressions of sympathy and support during a very difficult time. I will not be here tomorrow, and you will probably be better for it. But I just can't tell you how much it means to have all of you and your support. My wife thanks you dearly. And with that, Mr. President, I move that the Senate stand adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Thank you. Are there announcements? Let's go to Senator Crowe, and we'll go to the end of Senator Geisen, and we'll go to Senator Scott.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee on Education, number 4, will meet tomorrow at 8 o'clock in S11, over by the Row Your Own place out there, to hear Senate File 52, Dyslexia Screening and Response, and Senate File 78, Interstate Compact on Students of Military Families 3.
Thank you. Go ahead, Senator Geisen, and we'll go to Senator Scott.
Mr. President, your committee number 5, Agriculture, Public Land, Water Resources, will meet in about 15 minutes on S-15 to take up Senate File 47, Omnibus Water Bill Construction, Senate File 45, Alcohol Beverage Manufacturers, Senate File 20, Livestock Disease Reporting Liability, Senate File 18, Reimbursement for Livestock.
Please, Senator Scott.
Mr. President, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. in the normal committee room. Senate File 37, Medicaid Waiver Funding. Senate File 32, Workers' Compensation Amendments.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you. Mr. President, your committee number 1, Judiciary, will meet tomorrow, Friday, February the 17th at 8 a.m. in Room S1 to consider the following bills. Senate File 39, Adjustment of Child Support for an Adult Child. Senate File 27, Public Meetings, and Senate File 25, Public Records.
Senator Bebout, thank you. Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your committee number 9, Minerals, will meet tomorrow 15 minutes after noon adjournment up in Room S18 to discuss the following Senate files. Senate File 84, County Commission Special Expertise. Senate File 85, General Permits. Senate File 86, Greenhouse Gas Air Quality Regulation. Senate File 75, Business Ready Community Program Planning. And if time allows, Mr. President, Senate Joint Resolution 2, Uranium, Riverton Uranium Mill Tailings Remedial Action.
Thank you. Senator Nicholas, go
Thank
ahead.
You, Mr. President. Committee number 2, Appropriations, will meet upon adjournment this evening to consider Senate File 33, Department of Enterprise Technology Services, and Senate File 35, Higher Education Reserve Accounts. We'll be meeting tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. to consider Senate File 40, Judicial Salaries, Senate File 30, Highway Patrol, Game Warden, Investigator Retirement. And we'll be meeting on adjournment tomorrow and Friday to consider Senate File 12, Nuclear Energy Task Force Extension, and Senate File 14, Nuclear and Hybrid Energy System Related Projects. Thank you.
Any other announcements? Seeing none, you all heard the motion that the Senate be adjourned until 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., Friday, February 17th. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Senate will be adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow.